إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we'd like to discuss a topic that is in front of us of great importance, and that is the excellence and the virtue and superiority of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And I'm sure that every one of us is aware of the importance of these days. However, what is intended is that it be a reminder. That it be a reminder. So, I'd like to mention specifically two statements from Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah concerning the importance of these days and the condition of the people in these days and advice and encouragement to take advantage of them. Whoever we have taken from them an email address, probably, hopefully, inshallah, you have received an email with a link to a 2 or 3 minute video recording of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, alaykum salam, dealing with this topic. 2 or 3 minutes, less than 3 minutes. If you received it, I definitely urge you and encourage you to listen and hear the Shaykh himself. And we're going to read something from him, but hearing his voice is different than the reading of something in translation in English. So I urge you, inshallah, to take a few minutes out and listen to that video recording of the Shaykh and hear his words of advice and encouragement to all of us during these days. And from amongst what he said, and I wish that I'd had the time, it's only 3 minutes, but, time was short. I wish that this morning I would have taken the time out, or could have, and written out word for word what he said. But from amongst the things that he said it is incumbent upon us to spread awareness amongst the people concerning this matter. He said that many of the people are unaware of these days, and many of the people are ignorant of the virtues of these days. Some of the people are unaware of these days outright. They don't even realize what time it is. And other people may know that these are 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, but they are not conscious, or they are not aware, or they don't have knowledge of the virtue of these days. So inshallah, if you have a chance to listen to it, it's very beneficial, 2.5 minutes or 3 minutes. I listened to it a few times, and it was definitely a tremendous encouragement. But in any case, what we'll read to you today are some other statements from the Shaykh, and whatever we have time from other than him. I'll start with the hadith that most of the scholars and the people of knowledge have quoted concerning this time. And that hadith is reported in a number of books of hadith. The wording that we are reading here is from Abu Dawood, but a similar narration is also reported by Bukhari and others. Normally this hadith is attributed to Bukhari, but the actual wording that is normally mentioned is the wording of Abu Dawood. In any case, the wording of Bukhari is similar, but this is the wording of Abu Dawood, and this is the narration or the wording that normally most of the people mention. And it is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيهن عليكم السلام ورحمة الله أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيهن أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام. Keeping in mind that this first part of the hadith is probably not 10 words, any very few words, but of great importance. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma min ayyam," yani that there are no days. There are no days. There are absolutely no days. Al-amul as-salih fi hinna, in which good deeds done in them. There are no days in which a person does good deeds that are ahabbu ila Allah min hadhihi al-ayyam, that could be more beloved to Allah than good deeds done in these days. Any days of the year that you're talking about, there are no days in the year in which a person does good deeds that are more beloved, yani that the deeds done in those days are more beloved than good deeds done in these days. And that statement is a tremendous statement. If a person thinks about it, then any time you wanted to do good deeds, any good deed that you wanted to do, there's no better time to do it than today. Today, now. So, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he began with this statement, and when he said this, yani the people said, wala al-jihadu fi sabilillah, yani not even if a person in those other days went out striving in the path of Allah, that wouldn't even be better. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wala al-jihadu fi sabilillah." Not even if a person went out in the path of Allah in jihad in other days would it be better than good deeds done in these days, with the exception of one man. يعني a person إلا رجلا خرج بنفسه وماله فلم يرجع من ذلك بشيء. Except a man who went out with his life and with his wealth, and he didn't return with anything of that. And he didn't return with anything. يعني his life was taken and his wealth was taken. This is the only exception. يعني the person who did that, then his deed is better no matter when he did it. Other than that, there are no days in which good deeds done in them are more beloved to Allah than good deeds done in these days. And this hadith, yani we'll discuss it briefly, but yani a person needs to dwell on it and reflect upon it and maybe read it again and again and again. Perhaps if you didn't memorize this hadith, it may be worthy of memorization. Because as you are memorizing it, it will be a constant reminder to you every day, all day, as you keep reading it and reciting it and memorizing it, of the importance of not letting one day from these 10 days, not even 1 hour or 1 minute, pass you by without getting some benefit of doing a deed. Whether it is extra prayers or fasting or charity or dhikr or dua or recitation of Quran, enjoining the good or forbidding the wrong, or dawah, whatever it may be, a person should be engaged constantly. And of course, probably the easiest thing to be constantly engaged in is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he constantly saying, Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. Indeed, Allah is worthy of all praise. So So if a person was constantly engaged in praising Allah, saying Alhamdulillah, 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 being conscious fully that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indeed worthy of all praise, even if He had given us nothing, even if it wasn't for something that He has given us. And indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's given us every good. Every good. There is no good that comes to us or anyone in the creation except that it is from Allah alone. And He has no partner in it. Yani He gives it to us exclusively. It is from Him and it is from no one else. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say in the Adhkar al-Sabah, اللهم ما أصبح بي من نعمة أو بأحد من خلقك I'm sorry ها نعم فمنك وحدك لا شريك لك يعني that there is no نعمة that comes to me or to anyone in the creation, except that it is from you alone, without having any partner in it. Naam. So this is a reminder to us that all of the bounties and the favors are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So the meaning of this hadith in brief, ma min ayyam, that there are no days, yani that there are no days out of the whole year in which righteous deeds, al-amal as-salih, that is, deeds which improve or perfect or reform the human being, that purify the human being, such as salat and siyam and as-sadaqat and hajj wal-jihad wa-sa'ir al-ibadat. Yani there are no deeds, good deeds, the things that improve and reform and rectify and purify the human soul, such as prayer and fasting and charities and pilgrimage and striving in the way of Allah and the rest of the acts of worship. There are no deeds done in any days that are أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام. There are no deeds in any days that are more beloved to Allah than the good deeds done in these days. That is, these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed the people about this, yani encouraging, as a means of encouragement, yani this, he told the people this, that these are the best days to do good deeds, as a means of encouraging the people to do righteous deeds that are beloved to Allah in these days. When he told them this, and these days include the first day of Dhul-Hijjah, which has already passed us by, until the 10th day of Dhul-Hijjah, which is the day of Eid. When he told them this, they asked him, they said, not even jihad in the way of Allah. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Yani, meaning, are righteous deeds done in these days even better than jihad in the way of Allah in other days? And the Prophet ﷺ said that not even jihad in the way of Allah is better in other days than good deeds done in these days. And he made an exception from this general statement, and that exception is a believing man who goes out in jihad in the way of Allah with his life and his wealth, and he is killed in the way of Allah, and his wealth is taken. So the Prophet ﷺ said, accepting from this general statement, إِلَّا رَجُلًا خَرَجَ بِنَفْسِهِ وَمَالِهِ فَلَمْ يَرْجِعْ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِشَيْءٍ. Except a man who goes out with his life and his wealth, and he doesn't return with any of that. This person who is killed, and his wealth is taken. So this one is the single person, is the single exception whose deeds is better in any time than deeds done in these first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. So this is a reminder to us and an encouragement, inshallah, to pay attention to these days ourselves individually and to remind our families, our relatives, our neighbors, our associates, the people that we work with or go to school with, to remind others and to be reminded ourselves of the importance of this opportunity and not to allow it to pass us by. And so that we don't forget, also we want to mention, before we go any further, with the fatawa or the statements of Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen, we want to mention that fasting on the day of Arafah, which is the 9th day of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, is a means of expiation of sins from the previous year and the coming year. And as for those who are performing the Hajj, who may be standing in Arafat on that day, it is not sunnah for those people to fast on that day, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not fast on the day of Arafat when he was performing Hajj. And likewise, it is well known that the fasting on the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day of Eid, is prohibited. It is prohibited to fast on the day of Eid. As far as the other 9 days for people who are not performing Hajj, then all of these days are days that are recommended and that are praiseworthy and commendable to fast them. So, as far as the Shaykh's statement, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, the question was asked to him, O noble Shaykh, in a few days we will be entering into the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. So what is your advice for the people regarding taking advantage of them? I hope for an explanation of its virtues and the actions that should be performed in it. The Shaykh, he said, rahimahullah, the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah begins with the entrance of the month, and that the month started yesterday. And these 10 days end on the day of Eid. Yani the last of them is the day of Eid al-Adha. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said about actions in these 10 days, there are no days wherein righteous actions are more beloved to Allah than in these 10 days. And they said, not even jihad in the way of Allah. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, not even jihad in the way of Allah, except for a man who leaves out, and he who goes out, who leaves his house, for the purpose of striving in the way of Allah with his wealth and his self, and he doesn't return with any of them. So with this, I strongly encourage my Muslim brothers, and we will add to that, of course, the Shaykh means the Muslims in general, brothers and sisters, to seize this tremendous opportunity. And we just read the other day the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, اغتنم خمسن قبل خمسن, take advantage of 5 things before 5 others. And this hadith, that hadith is a reminder to us to take advantage of things that will pass you by if you don't take advantage of them when they are present. And from amongst the things that will pass you by if you don't take advantage of them when they come to you are these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. They will come and they will be gone, and we will be regretting that we didn't take advantage of them. So the Shaykh said, I strongly encourage my Muslim brothers to seize this tremendous opportunity to perform many righteous actions in these 10 days, including recitation of the Quran, and including spending some time in the day, as much as possible, reading the Quran, with reflection, with contemplation, pondering over its meanings, reciting it from the heart, believing that these words are the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including recitation of the Quran, remembrance of Allah, yani dhikrullah of every type, charity, fasting, etc. Strive to perform many different acts of obedience. And he tried to find all of the various types of ibadat that one can engage in. And from the greatest of them of course, is the salah. And performing the salah in jama'ah, performing it on time, in the masjid, in jama'ah, performing it, yani with khushu', with ikhlas, with full consciousness of what we are saying when we are bowing in ruku, when we are prostrating in sajda. Yani if a person in ruku says Subhana Rabbi al-Azim and reflects on the meaning of this, this is a tremendous statement. This is a tremendous statement. And if they said it three times, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, this is a tremendous statement. Three words, the declaration of Allah's perfection, the acknowledgement that He is our Rabb, and that from amongst His names is Al-Azim. Al-Azim, the magnificent, the great, the majestic, the supreme. Naam. If a person says these three words and says them three times, imagine what kind of reward one will get just for saying Subhanallah. Is a tremendous reward. As the Prophet ﷺ, he said, is any one of you incapable of earning 1,000 hasana every day? And one of the people sitting asked, how can one earn 1,000 hasana in a day? And the Prophet ﷺ said, يُصَبِّحُ مِئَةَ مَرَّةٍ. Just say Subhanallah 100 times, and it will be recorded for you. 1,000 good deeds. Or, they will be erased from your record, 1,000 of your sins. By a person doing what? Just saying one word, Subhanallah. Subhanallah. 100 times. Oh, how easy this is. But of course, with consciousness and awareness and iman, believing that this is a statement of truth, the person who does so, inshallah, they will earn a tremendous reward. So the Shaykh is saying here, the type of good deeds that we should do are recitation of Quran, remembrance of Allah, charity, fasting, and so on. And again, I say that if we would be conscious in our salah every day, five times a day, every time we bow saying Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, and every time we prostrate saying Subhana Rabbi al-Ala, this would be a tremendous opportunity to earn reward in these 10 days and in other days, but especially in these days. Try to be more conscious in your salah. Try to be more conscious when you're bowing, that you're bowing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that when you are saying these words, that they have some great meaning. Each one of these words, every single word. So the Shaykh said, and this is like, yani, one of the reasons why I wanted to read this, because of what he says here. It is very troubling to see that the people are heedless about these 10 days. Do you not find them exerting themselves in the last 10 nights of Ramadan? Yani, don't we see how the people exert themselves in the last 10 nights of Ramadan? How people go out of their way. Some people stand in the night in the masjids for hours and hours and hours. And people do all kinds of deeds. Naam, of course, they exert themselves in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. However, with the 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, you will be hard-pressed to find even one who differentiates between them and other than them. Most of the people, they consider these days to be like other days. People are not even conscious or aware that these are the best of days in the whole year, better than the days in Ramadan. Naam. The Shaykh said, you will be hard-pressed to find even one who differentiates between these days and other days. People consider them as regular days. But if a person performs righteous actions in these 10 days, he will be reviving or giving life to that which the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us to do. Also, if an individual intends to slaughter at the ending of these 10 days, then he shouldn't remove anything from his hairs, nails, or body. As for someone slaughtering on his behalf, yani slaughtering on behalf of someone else, then there's nothing wrong with him clipping his nails, his own nails, or cutting his hair. Meaning the one who is representing somebody else, just doing the slaughter on behalf of somebody else, this is not applicable to that one. But it's applicable to the one on whose behalf the slaughtering is being done. And if a person wants to slaughter for himself and his family with one sacrifice, as is the sunnah, yani that a person who is the head of a household makes the slaughter of one animal for his whole family, then it is not upon his family to abide by this principle. Yani they are not prohibited from clipping their nails or cutting their hairs. But the one who this is applicable to is the one who's actually doing the sacrifice for their self and for their family. Or even if somebody else is doing it for him, then it's still applicable to the one on whose behalf the sacrifice is being done, that they do not clip their nails or any hairs from their body. Now, this is Annie, the first one. After this, another question, and this is yani the second yani point that I wanted to emphasize. A fatwa from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah regarding fasting, the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah. A questioner asked Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah the following question: O Shaykh, are there any authentic ahadith that mention fasting the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah? The 10th day being the day of Eid. The 10th day is the day of Eid. It's prohibited to fast on the day of Eid. Are there any authentic hadith that mention fasting the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah? And the Shaykh, rahimahullah, answered, fasting the first 9 of Dhul-Hijjah is from the righteous actions, without doubt. There's no doubt about it. The fasting, the whole of these days, is recommended, is commendable, is praiseworthy. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are not any days in which righteous deeds are done that are more beloved to Allah than in these 10 days, or in these days, meaning the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. They said, O Messenger of Allah, not even jihad in Allah's cause. He said, not even jihad in Allah's cause, except for a man who left out with his self and his wealth, and he did not return with either of them. So fasting is included in the general context of this hadith of righteous deeds that are done in these days. Fasting is included in that. And there appears a hadith stating that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast the first 10 of Dhul-Hijjah, not counting the Eid. In other words, the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah, takes this position, yani of fasting the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And it is authentic. Yani fasting in the first 10 of Dhul-Hijjah, excluding the Eid, is sunnah. Yes, that's the Shaykh's answer. Yes, it is sunnah. And the hadith that the Shaykh is referring to is a hadith where it's reported that some of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast the day of Ashura, the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah, and 3 days out of every month. Reported by Al-Imam Ahmad and An-Nasai, rahimahumullah. And Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, said this hadith is sahih. And Al-Imam An-Nawawi, rahimahullah, said, with reference to fasting the first 9 days of Dhul-Hijjah, that it is highly recommended to do so. So the first of them has passed us by. And what remains are 8 more days that it is possible to fast in, and 9 more days in which it is recommended to do as many good deeds as is possible. And I know that the time is upon us, but I just want to read a few points and what remains. I'm saying that it's possible for a person to fast 9 of these 10 days. One of them has passed by already. Yesterday was the first. So what remains of these 10 that are permissible to fast are 8. Today and 7 days following. Naam. There's a difference of opinion about this issue, and Allah knows best. Shaykh al-Albani, rahimahullah, his view concerning this is based upon the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam prohibited fasting on Saturday unless it is an obligatory fast. And the Shaykh, his view concerning this is that if it is not an obligatory fast, a person shouldn't fast, no matter what day it is. If it's not obligatory, if it comes on a Saturday, don't fast it. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, his view concerning this is that the prohibition of Saturday, if it is authentic, then it does not include special days, like the day of Arafah or Al-Ashura and such days that have been specified, yani singled out for the excellence of fasting those days. So if a person fasts that day, then that is certainly, and even though it is a Saturday, it is certainly, there are scholars like Shaykh al-Uthaymeen and others who see its permissibility. And if a person does not fast on that day, then there are scholars like Shaykh al-Albani and before him, from the early generations of the Muslims, scholars who hold the prohibition of fasting that day. And if a person gives up that day, yani for the sake of Allah, inshallah, Allah will replace it with that which is better than it. And that's easy for Allah. And whoever gives up something for the sake of Allah, Allah will replace it with that which is better than it. And Allah knows best. Now, no problem. There's no difference of opinion about fasting on Sunday.
So, Sheikh, if you haven't really prepared for the fast for today,
Now, if a person got up in the morning and they didn't take anything for suhoor and they went to fast, it's permissible to fast. And the suhoor is a barakah and a sunnah and a help for the person psychologically and physically to get through a day of fasting. But it's not a mandatory condition for the validity of fast. So if a person wants to fast, even if they didn't have suhoor, they can fast. It's permissible. Now, and as far as yani not having intention before Fajr, yani the correct opinion concerning the scholars is that it is not a condition for the validity of voluntary fasting that you have to have had intention before Fajr. As far as in Ramadan, a person should have had intention before the break of dawn for the validity of the fast of Ramadan. Naam. So, Naam, the time has passed us. But I just want to quickly read a couple of notes here. As far as recommended action in these days, it is highly recommended to perform the obligatory acts at their prescribed times, as in the earlier time, especially for the Salat, and to increase oneself in the supererogatory acts. For indeed, this is what brings a person closer to their Lord. Yani, the best thing that brings one near to Allah is the obligatory duties. And after that, supererogatory, yani voluntary duties or voluntary actions bring one near to Allah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, it is incumbent upon you to increase in prostration to Allah, for verily do not prostrate to Allah with even one prostration, except that He raises you in degrees due to it, and decreases your sins because of it. Reported by Imam Muslim. Naam. There are plenty of places to slaughter, inshallah. There are plenty of places. There's no shortage of them. Probably the one that you were going to is unhealthy too, but it doesn't matter. I mean, it's up to you to go, to choose. There are many places a person should go, what? And into the place that they feel is best. There's no problem. There's no problem. There are plenty of places. Inshallah, just find one of them. And, you know, whoever is able to sacrifice, they should sacrifice. And whoever is the head of the family, or yani an independent person who is responsible for their own self, if they have the means, they should sacrifice. Naam. Ameen. All of us. Al-Jami'a. In any case, alhamdulillah, there's a lot of detail concerning this. Many of the scholars have spoken about it, and much has been said about it, and it's incumbent upon us to try to take advantage of it, and if we have been reminded, then there's no excuse. And if we have been reminded, then there's no excuse for us not to take advantage of it. Again, I say that from the best of deeds that a person can do in these days, or I should say, from the easiest of deeds that a person can do in these days, is the remembrance of Allah, al-dhikr, and dua, and recitation of Qur'an. Yani, let one be constantly engaged in the remembrance of Allah in these days. The easiest of things that a person can do is the dhikr of Allah. It doesn't require any wealth, it doesn't necessarily require good health, and it doesn't take any time or any effort. And it doesn't take any time or effort. Naam, but I mean, it's time. You know, the time is already upon us. So, anyway, alhamdulillah, we will send out some emails, inshallah, during these days as much as we can. You know, as a reminder and as an encouragement. And I say that that we should, again, yani, reminding others is a reminder to yourself. Yani, the more you remind others, the more you remind yourself. So get some blessings by reminding others, encouraging other people to do good, and in the same way it will be reminded to yourself, and it will be an encouragement to yourself. Because how can you tell other people to do good in these days and don't do it yourself? Now,
Now.
Well, as I said, there's difference of opinion about it. There's difference of opinion about it. I mean, the hadith, there's even difference of opinion about the hadith. I mean, there are many scholars from the scholars of hadith who consider this hadith to be authentic, or at least hasan. Major scholars of hadith. And there on the other side, other major scholars of hadith who consider this hadith to be weak. And from amongst those who considers it to be authentic is Shaykh al-Albani. He considers it to be authentic. And he's from amongst those scholars who hold the view, and he's not the first person who came with this view, that the prohibition of fasting on Saturday, except if it is an obligatory fast, includes all fasting that are not obligatory. Whether it's yani, 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah or otherwise. His view is that it's prohibited to fast these days if it falls, when they fall, any of them falls on a Saturday. Because fasting on Saturday is prohibited, except if it's an obligatory fast. And then there are other scholars who hold that it's permissible, because these are special days, and those days are not included in the meaning of that prohibition. So a person can take either view. A person can take either view. You know, whatever you think is any the stronger or more correct view, you should follow that. You should follow that. Any whatever you believe is stronger.
You being a Muslim, what is generally, what is it, you
The problem in Muslim lands, like here, people don't even know about the prohibition of fasting on Saturday. Students of knowledge are people who know about these things. Regular people, they don't even know. Like the Shaykh was saying here, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah. Most of the people are not even aware of these days. And those who might even know what day it is on the calendar, they are not conscious of the virtue or the excellence of these days. He's talking about the people in the Muslim countries. He's not talking about people in America. He's talking about the people in the Muslim countries. They are not even conscious that these days are here. They don't even know what day it is. And if they know, they don't know the excellence, the virtue, the superiority of these days, that these days should be distinguished from other days. And that's why he said, you will find many, many people in the last 10 days of Ramadan exerting themselves in all kind of good deeds. But you will hardly find anyone who will distinguish these days from regular days of the year. They will consider it as just being ordinary days. People will be going through these days. You will ask people 10 days from now, what did you do in these 10 days? Most people will say, what do you mean? What did I do? They say, what I normally do, I went to work every day. No. Well, a lot of people do mention it. A lot of people have mentioned it. And then, like you said, a lot of people don't mention it. They're engaged in other things. There are more important matters in front of them. So, I mean, this is a great opportunity, you know, a great opportunity, na'am. This is a fursa, azima. We should take advantage of it. Don't let it pass us by. I'm saying, brothers, every day let's remind each other. Make a schedule for yourself. Write it out. Like, these are the things that I'm going to try to do in these days. Especially, I'm going to make my salah in jama'ah, in the masjid, on time, as much as I can, if not every single prayer. That I'm going to pray the sunnah prayers, 12 raka'ah, that are attached to the obligatory prayers. All of them. 12 of them. Every single day. This is something that we should be doing every day of the year, throughout our life. At least in these days. Make a commitment to yourself, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that in these days you're going to follow the sunnah. We are the people of sunnah. This is from the sunnah. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a house in Jannah for the person who prays these 12 rak'ah. 2 rak'ah before Fajr, 4 rak'ah before Dhuhr, 2 rak'ah after Dhuhr, 2 rak'ah after Maghrib, and 2 rak'ah after Isha. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a house in Jannah for the person who prays these. What better time to initiate them into our life and to get into the habit of doing them regularly and consistently than in these days? To be more conscious in our prayer, to make sure that we have ikhlas when we make salat and that we have presence of heart and mind when we are praying, when we are standing, know that we are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani the person who does well in this standing, as Ibn Qayyim said, then they will be good in the next standing, yani on Yawm al-Qiyamah. If a person pays attention to their standing before Allah in the salah, and they're bowing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their prostration, and the dhikr and dua that you say in the salah, and the recitation of Quran, yani whatever you recite in your salah, try to reflect on the meaning of it. Don't just say it, but think about the meaning of what you're saying. You know, everything that you do, try to be conscious of every position, of every statement. And you try to be fully aware from the beginning of the salah until the end of it, that this is something important. And that's just salah. And try to be good to the people, whoever is able, who have something extra, give charity in these days to the people. Look for the people who are needy. Look for the people who are, yani, without, who are deprived. Try to be good to the people. Try to help the people. Whoever is good to the people, Allah will be good to them. Naam. Halal jazah? Huh? Jazah al-ihsan illa? Ihsan? Is there any reward for ihsan, for doing good, except good? Whoever is good to the people, Allah will be good to them. Na'am, akhi.
Except unless you fast Thursday, before, then Friday and Saturday.
Now, the prohibition of singling out Friday. A person should not single out Friday for fasting as a voluntary fast. But if a person fasts the day before or the day after, then it's permissible. So nobody should say, I'm going to fast on Fridays exclusively and only fast that one day. Rather, you have to fast the day before or the day after. The day before or the day after? Now, wa alaykum salam. Is there a hadith? Well, the suggestion, of course, is that this is the day of the people of the Yahud. This is their day of worship, or their Sabbath, or whatever. But in any case, the real point is that it is prohibited. The Prophet ﷺ prohibited it. Even if that is the reason or not, but it's prohibited. And sometimes, the real wisdom behind something may not be clear to us. But if a person believes that that hadith is sahih, and they believe that this is the correct understanding, that it's absolute prohibition, no matter even on special days, then, and the person leaves it for the sake of Allah, and if a person doesn't fast on that day, because they believe that Allah has prohibited it, then the reward is in not fasting, not in fasting. The reward is in obedience to Allah. If a person believes that that hadith is sahih, and they believe that it is inclusive of all days, then the reward will not be achieved by fasting. Rather, the reward will be achieved by not fasting. Depending on which view you hold. If you hold that view, if you hold the other view that is permissible, then that's different. Well, we'll say this, that Allah rewards whomever He wills. Allah rewards whomever He wills. If a person intends to do what's good, Allah may reward them even if they err in what they're doing. Naam, Allah can reward them even though they erred, if He wills. If the intention is sincere, Allah may reward a person who commits an error. Naam. Today is the second, right?
Yeah.
So just, today is the second, for 7 more days we can fast. One more week after today, inshallah. Okay, we're going to stop here, brother. So people who have to leave. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.